This morning we're going to go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 15 through 21. We're going to come back and look at the context of that. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read about the new man. And we're going to look at two things from be proactive. We're going to look at we're supposed to walk circumspectly. And we're supposed to be redeeming the time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, once again, we do want to thank you for this opportunity. You've given every one of us that's here and is going to be listening to this the opportunity to hear your word. The opportunity, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to bring us in the truth of that. And that's what I pray for this morning, that you will, by your power of the Holy Spirit, open the eyes and the ears and the hearts of the hearers. Bring them into the truth of your word. And also, Lord, empower me, once again, by your Holy Spirit, to boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do not let me compromise, and let it be for your glory. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. As I said earlier, I titled the sermon, Be Proactive. Paul said to the Ephesians, walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. We need to be proactive in our Christian walk. We need to take the initiative by acting rather than just reacting to the events that come our way. We need to walk in love, walk in the light. We should not grieve the Holy Spirit. Before we get into walk circumspectly, though, I want to take you back to the context of Ephesians 5 and go to chapter 4, verse 17. Chapter 4, verse 17. We'll start there. We're going to walk down through 4:17 to the end of the chapter and all the way to 5 down to verse 14 of Ephesians. The new man. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, having given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We are members, therefore put away lying, verse 25, therefore putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints, or as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with him. Verse 8. For you were once in darkness, but now you are in light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I'm going to give you a little background of what's happening here in Ephesus. It's from, once again, the study, the John MacArthur New Testament commentary. He's got some great history in here on the church at Ephesus. So he goes back first and says, the therefore that we looked at in Ephesians 4:17, this I say therefore, refers back to what Paul has been saying about our high calling in Jesus Christ. Because we are called to salvation, unified in the body of Christ, we are gifted by the Holy Spirit, we are built up by gifted men, we should therefore, Paul says, walk no longer just as the Gentiles walked. We cannot accomplish this glorious works of Jesus Christ by continuing to live the way the world lives. The Gentiles here represents all ungodly, unregenerated, pagan persons. Like the church in our own day, the church at Ephesus, in almost every non-Palestinian area in the New Testament times, were surrounded by rank paganism and immorality. You see, Ephesus was the leading commercial and cultural city of the Roman Empire. It boasted about the great pagan temple, Artemis, or the Temple of Diana, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. But it also was the leading city in debauchery and sexual immorality. Some historians say it ranked as the most lascivious or characterized by expression of lust city of Asia Minor. You see, the Temple of Artemis or Diana was a center of much wickedness. Like those in most pagan religions, its rituals and practices were but extensions of man's vilest and most perverted sins. Male and female roles were interchanged, and homosexuality and every other sexual perversion were common. Artemis, or Diana, was herself a sex goddess, represented by an ugly, repulsive black female idol that looked something like a cross between a cow and a wolf. She was served by thousands of temple prostitutes, eunuchs, singers, dancers, and priests and priestesses. Idols of Artemis or Diana and other deities were seen everywhere and every size and made out of many different materials. Of special popularity were silver idols and religious artifacts. It was because Paul's preaching over in the books of Acts 19 that cut deeply into that trade that the Ephesian silversmiths came against him and rallied the population against them. You might look at Acts 19, verse 24 through 28 sometime and read about that. The temple of Diana contained one of the richest art collections then in existence. It was also used at the bank, he says.
Because most people feared stealing from within the walls lest they incur the wrath of goddess or other deities. A quarter mile perimeter served as an asylum for criminals who were saved from apprehension and punishment as long as they remained within the temple confines. For obvious reasons, then, the presence of hundreds of hardened criminals added still further to Ephesus' corruption and vice. The 5th century B.C., Greek philosopher, himself a pagan, referred to Ephesus as the darkness of vileness. The morals were lower than animals, and the animals to be drowned. There is no reason to believe that the situation had changed much by Paul's day. If anything, by Paul's day, it could have been worse. You see, the church of Ephesus was a small island of despised people in a giant cesspool of wickedness. You kind of see that today too. True churches, true believers in Jesus Christ, we are in the middle of wickedness. We fight it. We will continually fight for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But back in Paul's day, as these Christians, as they would pass by the places where they once caroused, they could have been part of that crowd, the ones they ran with their friends and whom they indulged in this debauchery, that's where the problem was. They faced continual temptations to revert to their old ways. And the Apostle Paul admonished them to resist. To resist the evil ways. He says in the text, I say therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles walked. You see, on the basis of what Christ are, of what we are in Jesus Christ, after salvation, and all that God now purposes for us as His redeemed and beloved children, we are to be absolute distinct from the rest of the world, which does not know or follow Him. You see, spiritually, we as Christians have already left the world and are now citizens of heaven. We are therefore not to love the world nor the things in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. It says in 1 John chapter 2. You see, the world's standards are wrong. All you have to do is turn on the television at night and watch the news. Turn on the television any time in the day and see the lifestyles that are being portrayed on television. And match them up with the Bible. They are not biblically matched. Its motives are wrong. Its aims are wrong. Its ways are sinful, deceitful, corrupt, empty, and their ways are destructive. You see, the Apostle Paul, the warning Paul gives, did not originate from his own personal taste or preferences.
As the text says, this I say and affirm together with the Lord. You see, the matter of forsaking sin and following righteousness is not the whim of an isolated, narrow-minded preacher and teacher. It's God's own standard, and it's His only standard for those who belong to Him. It is the very essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and He said it in bold contrast to the standards of the wicked unredeemed. You see, in that context right there, we see the passion that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. And now open up your bulletins, and we're going to go down through two things I want to share with you this morning about be proactive. Number one, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, he says, See then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You see, to walk circumspectly is to walk with an awareness, with your spiritual eyes open. We should watch where we walk. We should avoid places and bad influences in our life. I got a quote here from Pastor John MacArthur. You see, on the book, Pilgrim's Progress, every incident, conversation, and observation in that great classic Christian literature focused on obeying or disobeying, heeding or ignoring, falling or departing from God's divine path for the Christian living. You see, when Christians sin and fall into Satan's traps, they do so because they live as unwise men rather than wise. You see, as born-again Christians, we are to walk wisely with our spiritual eyes open at all times. Think back to the movie that some of us watched together on John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. And as you go back and replay them scenes in your mind, how that the evil would try to get them off the Christian walk. They didn't want them to fulfill their mission. And every once in a while they would fall and go off the wrong path. They were not walking circumspectly. You see, we need to submit fully to the leading of the Holy Spirit and to walk in the fruit of the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's go back to that Galatians chapter 5. We read that last week, but let's go back and revisit that. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, in which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. I want to read you a paraphrase on Ephesians 5, verses 11 through 16. It says, don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, the pursuits of darkness. Expose those things, for the sham they are. It's a scandal when people waste their lives on things they must do in darkness where no one will see them. Rip the cover off those frauds and see how attractive they look in the light of Christ. It says, wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffins. Christ will show you the light. So watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. So as you can see, back to Ephesians 5:15. He says, so then, he says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We need to walk in love. We need to walk in the light. We need to walk in the wisdom of God. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and let's look at verse 16. Ephesians 5, verse 16. It says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. It says, redeeming the time here in the study Bible means taking advantage of opportunities for service. We each have a limited time on this earth. Paul exhorts us to use as much of that time as possible for advancing Christ's purpose in this world. You see, when me and you, as followers of Jesus Christ, take His word to heart, we will strive to walk obediently with the Lord. And when we walk obedient with the Lord, we will seek every moment God gives us to redeem the time. You see, Jesus Christ Himself will give us a passion for the lost, a passion for the lost world, and a passion for our brothers and sisters in Christ who unfortunately have compromised their faith. You see, us Christians should strive to live in righteousness and to seek to share the hope that is within us. That's redeeming the time. Let's look though. We talk about this Ephesian letter that Paul wrote. Let's go over to Acts chapter 20, please. Acts chapter 20. And let's look from Dr. Luke's perspective on Paul as he, Paul, exhorted the Ephesians elders. Acts chapter 20, please. Acts 20, verse 17 through 27. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. However, I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in a ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. You see, Paul did not care about his life. He was sent to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the whole counsel of God. He was redeeming the time. Let's go over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. 2 Timothy 4. Let's look at Paul's command to Timothy. We've seen his command to the Ephesian elders. Second Timothy 4, verse 1 through 7. This is his charge. It says, I charge you there before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You see, at the end of Paul's life, he challenged young Timothy. He says, preach the word. Preach the word. In season and out of season. Because people will not listen. He says, be watchful. He said, he fought the good fight. He finished the race. He kept the faith. You see, that was quite the farewell speech to Timothy. Paul believed in redeeming the time. Let's look at Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 13 through 17. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, Be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. You see, Peter had a burden. He had a reverent awe for God, too, that he needed to redeem the time. He needed to be holy, for God is holy. Because he knew God is the ultimate judge. Go over to chapter 4 of 1 Peter. Chapter 4 of 1 Peter, verses 12 through 16. He says, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding glory. Verse 14. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. So number two was redeeming the time because the days are evil. No matter the consequences, no matter the cost. And a great place to start with that is in the home. Back to Ephesians chapter 6. So, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Because the days are evil, church, and our opportunities for freely giving out the gospel are limited, we need to seek every opportunity that God gives us to redeem the time. Do we think that when God gives us the opportunity and we pass up on that opportunity, that it does not burden His heart? When we ignore the opportunity that God gives us, it should burden our hearts. We don't know our last day on this earth. We do know one thing, though, that if the Lord tarries, we're going to die. And can you look back on your life right now and say, I truly redeemed the time that every opportunity God gave me? I say no. Every one of us has an opportunity and has a chance to grow in this area of redeeming the time. I know myself have missed several opportunities that God has given me to redeeming the time. I got choked up. I got scared. Or I just didn't know God's Word well enough to answer the question. But think about this. If you're a truly born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. You have the power of the Trinity inside of you to share the hope that's within you. Yes, we need to study diligently to show ourselves as an approved workman. But one of the greatest things that we can do on redeeming the time is share what God has done in your life. Your personal testimony of the powerful transformation of Jesus Christ in your life will shout with great shouts to folks looking at your life. We, as Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. Let me read it to you. You see, believers, we are supposed to be the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. It says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. and it gives light to all who are in the house. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now let's conclude this morning. The purpose to walk circumspectly in redeeming the time is this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. Let's read that again. Ephesians 5, verse 17 through 21. It says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. If we want to know God's will, we must study where it is found. And we know that is in the Bible. The Bible is where we will find His perfect guidelines for knowing and doing what pleases Him. As we go through Scripture, though, we know there will be mountaintops and there will be valleys. But as a truly born-again believer, we must allow the potter, which is Almighty God, to mold us into the image of His perfect Son, Jesus Christ, whether it be by persecution, sufferings, or blessings. We must walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. You see, because of blessings and responsibilities of believers, the blessing of Christians enjoys, says here in the chart of the study Bible, that we are chosen by God, election, we are adopted into God's family, we are accepted before God, we have forgiveness of sins, we have insight into God's will, we have an eternal inheritance. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We have God's mercy and love, wisdom and knowledge, divine power, spiritual life, the promise of eternal kindness, the knowledge that God's plan for us is good, unity and peace with all believers, heavenly citizenship, and access to Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's a lot of blessings. But the blessings come responsibilities. So our responsibility as Christians, we are to keep the unity of the Spirit. We are to use our abilities for the church benefit. We are to keep growing and maturing. We are to put away old sinful ways. Take off the old man, as we read. We are to speak honestly and purely. We are to do what the Spirit leads us to do. We are to imitate God, walk in love, to find out what is acceptable in the Lord, to make the most of our time. We are to be filled with the Spirit. We are to submit to one another. We are to have marriages that honor God. We are to honor God in our families. We are to demonstrate integrity in the workplace. And we are to stand strong against the forces of evil. As we close this morning, are you blessed by God? If you're in a family of God, through Jesus Christ, His Son, you have many blessings. But also we have many responsibilities. We are to walk circumspectly. We are to be redeeming the time. As Paul says over in Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And over in verse chapter 16 of Romans, verse 17 through 20, he says, Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. God's little promises for us this morning as we close is in Psalm 119, verse 37. He says, Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Let's pray. Father, as we close this morning, we once again thank you for your word you've given us to look into. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. And I pray that you will continually burden our hearts to study your word. Help us to keep our spiritual eyes open to the opportunities that you've given us to share the hope that's within us. I pray, Father, if there's anyone listening that never has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that you will convict them of their sin in their life and the need of a Savior. We know our ways are evil. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. We know we've all fallen short of your perfect standard. We cannot get to heaven on our own, no matter how hard we try. It's only by faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, that will get us there. So I pray you'll open people's eyes to that and grant them salvation. And for us believers, this continually help us, Lord, as Paul challenged the Ephesians, to walk in a way, a walk with our eyes wide open, to watch out for the spiritual attacks of the evil one, to not get caught up with the old crowd and our old friends that bring us down and want us to sin, but to walk, a walk in a way that's pleasing to you, according to your standards, not the world's. It's in Jesus' name I pray and ask. Amen.